Hello and welcome to the 140th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here joined today by the producer and director of Beyond the Green, Ashton Campbell. Ashton, thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Harry, I have to tell you, man, I kind of liked it a bit. Actually, behind the curtain, I love that game. It was quite a showing, quite a... I really didn't think, honestly, we were going to do that well.
We needed that win, Evan. That was a win that was sorely needed in front of what I thought was a really good crowd. I knew we'd have more people there because of homecoming, but just looking at the stands and how many people stayed to the end and then the tailgating scene, it was just it was really a good day, you know, to be a North Texas fan. Not only got the victory, but I think there were signs that, I mean, that was a two-win football team that we had that kind of crowd for. Those are good, encouraging signs, I think, you know, not only getting the first win we've had in a while this season, but also just to see that the fan support and the student section just continues to seem to get bigger every year.
Yeah, I think the tailgating scene was great. I wonder how many people stayed out there during the whole time and didn't come into the game, because I know that there was a lot more people out there that could have come in.
Yeah.
And I think when we get to that point, it'll be – and just see that wing filled up just one time.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And that was just – that was the only – I mean, I don't want to rain on that, but it was – that was the one thing that I was – looking up at the stands during the game was just like, oh, man, those guys are out there. Just come in. And you know they're there.
You know, but the thing is, every year the homecoming crowd gets bigger. Mm-hmm. There's more, it seems like there's more tents, there's more groups making a big deal of, hey, let's come back and meet up for this thing. And we had a bunch of playoff games, kids stuff going on. So we pulled up literally 10 minutes before game time and the parking lot was packed. I couldn't find a parking spot. Somebody was leaving and I actually got their spot, but otherwise there was no parking spots and this was reserved lot. So there was a lot of people there, a lot of people just, you know, celebrating and you know, getting with old friends and stuff like that. A little bit of alcohol might have been consumed out there in the parking lot, I think. But, no, it was good. A great scene. The weather turned out great. And, you know, what more could you ask for in a game? A good crowd like that, a lot of students, a lot of people showed up, and the performance on the field.
Yeah, the performance on the field, the defense stepped up to play. That's the best the defense has looked, really. You know, all season. And special teams, you know, was big. Hey, Mini Mac, let's give this kid credit. I mean, I thought he played a real solid game. Ashton's over here raising his fist in the air, but I think he's starting to prove some of the doubters a little wrong about him. He seems to have a little something.
12 of 16. You know, isn't amazing, but it's 12 of 16, and he only missed four passes. One of them was picked. He threw a jump ball to Carlos Harris. I asked him, why wouldn't God's green earth would you do that? And, you know, he kind of chuckled a little bit, like, yeah, you know, I Carlos wanted it up here, and I kind of let it out there, and he kind of wanted to get it in front of him. But, you know, and Carlos is all of 5'7", 5'8", you know, so that's not really the right thing to do. But, you know, I mean, his longest pass was 20 yards. But you're not asking McNulty to do the things that you want Dejon to do and Dejon would do, or if you know what Greer was advertised as the guy who could throw the ball 40, 50 yards down the field. You know, this is what you want McNulty to do, not lose the game. And I think that's what he's, you know, that's what he did really well.
Yeah. Yeah, there was – I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, I'm not just serviceable. I thought he looked pretty good. He made the right plays, the right passes. I mean, obviously we scored like we did. I mean, you know, we had some a few big plays. But I thought he managed the game well. It kind of ticked me off a little bit when he came out and you got the fans going, oh, yeah, Deshaun's going in. They start clapping. I'm like, seriously?
There was a guy on the
I was just
– I guess it's the south end zone. And he was yelling, Dejon Williams, like after – in the middle of the second quarter. And it's like Andrew hasn't done it. He hadn't even throw his pick yet.
Yeah.
But it was just I mean, if we're not going to throw the ball, that's not Andrew's fault. It's not like Andrew's calling all the plays.
Right, right.
You know, so I mean – but – against this team, and we were running the ball well. When we're going to run the ball like that, why stop running it? You know, why is that a bad thing? To not force feed Jimerson, force feed Pegram, and they'll both get. I mean, I think Pegram ended with just under 100 yards, and Jimerson was over 100. So that's great. I'll take that all day.
What did you guys think of the play calling? I mean, there was a couple times I kind of wish they would have done a few different things. I thought
Fourth and goal.
Yeah, the fourth and goal was one of them that I was kind of, you know, I was, and everybody was a little disappointed in that. But, of course, all the fans always want to go for it. I mean, that's how it is. But I was really surprised that they didn't. I thought for sure we'd see Lynn out there.
Take the points in that situation, though, right? Yeah. I mean, don't leave it on the field. You know, I think some players were upset about it on the sideline. They wanted to go in there. They wanted to kind of, you know, prove
make
that
a statement.
They, you know, the offensive line especially seemed a little bit like, damn, you know, we could have, we were dominating the trenches so far, and that's what they're big on, you know, dominating the trenches. And I think that not doing that, I think his team could have rallied behind him if he did that, but I understand what Mac did. I don't know what I would have done in that situation, honestly. I can say that I probably would have taken the points. But I mean, if I'm a 2-win team at that point, maybe I do want my guys to and the fans to
need a little spark
rally.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So, special teams. We were talking about this. Special teams on this team is pretty special.
No, they are. That's, I mean, the thing about it is, it's been kind of quietly going on this entire season. There hadn't been a whole lot of talk about it, but. You know, they're leading the nation in some categories right now.
Yeah, they're hyping a lot, yeah.
So you got to give some credit. I got to be honest with you, it kind of snuck up on me a little bit. I heard Mac talking very proudly about Tommy Perry and the coaches show Monday night. But just, you know, you got to say that guy's – Perry has done a fantastic job with the special teams here. That used to be a real weak point of this program. And he sure has seemed to have turned that around.
Yeah, I mean, we're number 2 in the nation in punt block. We're number 5 in the nation. I mean, this is the nation. This isn't just our conference. Number 5 in the nation in kickoff coverage, which is a great kind of underrated stat, I think. Now, granted, when you give up a 88-yard touchdown to Rice the next play, it doesn't really – it's not great. But number 4 in the nation in kickoff return, those are all – and top 10 – I think we're top 10 right now, maybe 8 or 9 in field goal percentage. That's with a freshman kicker. And these are all great stats.
I thought it was very telling that the UTEP coach, who I'm a big fan of, by the way, I think he's going to be a really good coach there, Sean Kugler, said in his press conference that he thought North Texas's special teams were the best they would see this season, and that includes Kansas State, who they played earlier in the year, which that's a pretty high compliment coming from an opposing coach.
Well, just as you talked about, this is our 3rd win of the season, and you know, we think, well, 3rd win of the season, we shouldn't really be excited. But this was, you know, the first 2 wins. Let's be honest; they were against SMU and Nicholls State. You know, they were good, solid wins, but you know, we weren't playing. So this was probably the best team we had played that we had won. I mean, they lost to Nebraska, they lost to Alabama, so that skewed their numbers a little bit. They beat Tulsa 21-50. I mean, they're 50-21, so they beat them pretty badly there. They scored a lot of points. Wyoming, they beat or they lost 19-20.
Just by 1 point. They beat UTSA
by 4 points. They lost to Florida International. They beat Western Kentucky. Lost to Marshall. Lost to UAB, and then that was their 3rd loss in a row to us. But you know, they got a pretty decent team. I mean, now their schedule, like I said, was pretty tough this year, but it was definitely a good solid win for us. And you know, hopefully that sets us up good against a UTEP team that's 5-4 overall, 3-2 in conference.
Well, there's a window. If you're a glass half full kind of Mean Green fan, there's a window there that says we can win 3 games. These next 3 games, we're not playing, you know, Alabama. We're not playing Nebraska. We're playing teams in Conference USA that we should have a chance, a good chance to beat. I think the toughest of those 3 games is coming up this weekend.
I think you have to be a glass half full fan to be a North Texas fan at this time. I mean, yeah. That's the only way we can for all these years.
The toughest game of this next 3 games is definitely this weekend. I don't think there's any question about mm-hmm. that. I mean, UTEP is kind of a mystery every time I look at them. They lose, didn't they? They beat USM,
they beat New Mexico, and they lost to Tech by 3-4 points.
That's right, yeah.
And then they lost to New Mexico State. Or no, they beat New Mexico State.
K-State took them out to the woods.
They just beat 28-58.
And they just lost to Western Kentucky last weekend, right?
Now, they lost to Louisiana Tech 55-3.
Yeah.
Which I was really surprised when that score came out.
Scoreboard.
Yeah, that was...
Well, they're
crazy.
They're a very pedestrian running team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a note for the show tonight to say this: Sean Kugler, the coach for them, is kind of like a Mac coach. You know what I mean? He wants physical play on the lines. He likes to run the ball. They don't pass the ball very well, but he's real fundamentals guy. He doesn't want turnovers. He's almost like a young Mac in a lot of respects. So it makes for an interesting game to have these two same similar types of styles going against each other.
Yeah, I would love to know what to expect this weekend, but it's kind of an enigma either way. I mean, I don't know what if the defense has momentum right now. They played a great game. You know, they caused turnover. You know, but we have to stop the run, which is something that we have not been able to do. And that could go down as a huge key and an obvious one. But, I mean, it might just be as simple as that. If we stop the run and control the clock, then we've got a pretty good shot because they're not going to throw the ball all over the place.
Do we have any injuries the other day?
In the coach's show, Max said there wasn't anything super significant, that they felt like they were going to be pretty healthy going into this game. There's still a few guys that are lingering. I didn't see. Did Jeffrey Wilson play in that game at all?
He had one carry for 5 yards,
and that was it. I don't think he's held. He's at 100%.
It was a shoulder, so you don't want to put him out there and beat the hell out of him. Yeah. And hey, Jimerson's running the ball really well.
True.
You can't take that. You know, take that away from Jim. I mean, you know, there's a couple games where Jimerson thought he was going to start this year, and he didn't go out there for the first couple series. And maybe something's turning on with Jimmy now, and he's really, I mean, he is. And he, you know, he played with the flu. He wasn't healthy going into that game. I mean,
really?
He was healthy. He was a little bit under the weather. And I think that was it was a pretty gutsy performance on his part. And that what, 44-41 yard run he had the first score, that was a great non-Jimmer like run because he kind of went through some people and then started shaking.
Yep. One note that I heard, and I don't have details on it, but I know that our second string defensive tackle, Sid Moore, has to sit out a half against UTEP.
Ejection, right?
Oh, yeah, for targeting. Hit him with the crown of his helmet.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay.
He was on the ground, and it was kind of a late hit, and he just kind of poked him with the top of his helmet, and it looked really awkward, and it was kind of late, and wasn't very hard, but it is what it was. I mean, you saw the right replay, but that's where he hit him, but it was almost barely hit him. So then he had to go sit down, and Mac was not happy, and then Mac was yelling at the coach and then they had to take him. And then he was sitting on the bench, and he's got to tell him he's got to go get off the field. And, yeah, so that was kind of an ugly play there at the end.
Well, I think with our defensive line and the challenges that we've had, you know, you hate to lose a second-string guy for a half. You just hate to see that happen because you know UTEP is going to be pounding the ball. You know, they are going to be smash-mouthing it right up us because, I mean, I think they look at us and say we can run the ball on these guys, don't you?
I mean, yeah.
Hey, one of the stats I was talking about this game, Jared Lynn got that touchdown. Yeah. You know, and it's so funny. Every time I see him going on the field, I'm like, the other team's got to know what's going to happen here.
Sure.
They got to see this coming, right? And he got that first down on that one play. And then I guess the other one is when he made the touchdown.
And that dance was kind of awkward.
That was so funny because McNulty was making fun of him on the sidelines about it. And I tried to get it on camera, and McNulty said, no, I'm not going to say anything else. Like, when I started rolling, he kind of shied away. And I was like, damn it, Andrew, come on. But, yeah, I think Mamba's like 5 for 5 on first down conversions this season.
Pretty impressive.
Which, again, is why, you know, why don't you put him at the goal line? But, you know, we could talk about that one play probably all night. And we won the game, so we should just not. You know?
Yeah.
And just leave it at that.
That's one of those plays, if you win the game, it's not as big a deal as if you lose the game.
We can give up the big play on defense, right? We've established that can happen. So how bad would it be if we give the ball up on the 1 yard line and then they hit like a 45-yard, or let's just say a 99-yard touchdown pass? They go over the top, and I mean, they scored on fourth down. That was a 30-yard touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a nice play on their part. Bad coverage on our part. I mean, that's got to be in the back of Mac's head and mind at that point. You know, momentum is completely lost if we give the ball up and they score, and then they're only 7 points down. Or right. No, they're at that point. I guess they'd be 3 or 4, whatever. So I mean, you know, you take the points at that point. I think.
Right. The returns, Kidsey didn't have much of an opportunity on him. He had one return for 27, two punts that really, they had a good punter, that didn't give him a whole lot of room to run. One of the turnovers was Kenny Byers, an interception, 43-yard. That was really kind of nice to see him.
Good run back.
It was. So those were a couple of good plays that we saw, a couple of players that stood out. But a lot of guys got yards. I mean, a lot of them. When you look at some of the all-purpose yards, I'm seeing names on here that you're not used to seeing.
you want to name some of those, or should we just try to imagine?
Well, I'm looking at, you know, Turner Smiley.
Young receiver that they think a lot of, and I think he's got a bright future.
Okay, they have this backwards. Oh, no, he had 11 yards, two receptions. Tanner Smith, Jared Lenocos, Jeffrey Wilson had the 5 yards. And then DeJean had 1 yard. Wow. Okay.
Did DeJean have more than one carry, or did he just have that one carry?
I think he just had that one.
Because he handed the ball off the other three or four times.
Yeah.
He took,
that was kind of an awkward play there. But a lot of names up there, so that's good. But so this week, it's kind of old school football. It's going to be a quick game unless it's stopped by the man in red. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the teams are fairly even. I don't see any one of these teams being dominant over the other, and they're very similar styles. I think the problem that we have in this game, and the reason that we're probably a touchdown underdog going into this game, is just our track record playing on the road. I mean, this is just not a good road team. We just, for whatever reason, our level of play drops considerably whenever we get away from the confines of Apogee Stadium. And that's my biggest fear.
The time isn't going to help either. I mean, that's a 9 o'clock kickoff for the guys back here. You know, we're going to be, it's 8 p.m. Mountain Time. That's going to be 9 o'clock at night. I mean, that's a lot of sitting around all day. You know, the coaches will preach, get off your feet, go rest, and they'll give them plenty of time to take naps. But whether or not they actually do it, stay in the right mindset, you know, it's more time for a lot of things can happen. You know, somebody can get ill, you know, food, whatever. I mean, anything can happen at that point. And I'd really, really hate. Very strong word. I do not like that time. I think that's not good for really us, because I mean, who wants to kick off at 9 p.m. at night? And that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah, that's no good. Well, I will say this, and we didn't talk about this, but that win came off of a bye week.
I was.
Oh my gosh!
Did you realize that? No. Now, typically in the past, we've had a win, go to a bye week, and then we come back and just can't get it going. So no. We were down after the Rice loss, and then a bye week, and we came back with a victory. So I'm going to keep that in the notes to see.
It's
maybe
a good trend.
It's a lot.
It is. Hopefully it's starting.
It's a good trend. We got 3 wins. We got a trend. We got a pattern.
If we win one more, that's called a winning streak.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We got a winning streak. Well, the athletic department will sell it that way. All right, so what else? So 9 o'clock kickoff. It's late. Hopefully that won't play into too much of it. Everybody, it's always interesting to me, the late game, because you get a lot of people that end up seeing those late games because they're wanting to see one last football while they're going to bed, one last little glint. And I don't even know what other games are on that late Saturday night, but there'll be a lot of people watching it.
There's a lot of good games Saturday, so it's a great football day because you get to watch, you know, some games leading up to ours. You know, ours gets to be kind of the capper, but I think it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. It'd be a great win for us. I mean, I think you look at the next two after this and think they're totally winnable. So what a great – I mean, as bad as this season's been, just the thought of maybe getting to 6 wins, and I don't really care about a bowl or not. I mean, it'd be great if we can get in back into one. But just to get to 6 wins from the depths of despair we've been in this season would be fantastic.
It would be quite a turnaround. And when you're looking at Florida International, who's 3-7, and UTSA, which I giggle at UTSA because, you know, as cocky as they were going into the season, you know, they're 2-7.
It's going to be a tough place to play, though.
It is, because their fans get up for
it. It will be, but their situation, I mean, at least we're playing some young players and have some guys coming back. I mean, they've got, like, what, 37 seniors?
Yeah. Something like that.
That graduate, so.
This is make it or break it right here for them. And
it's already broke.
Yeah, they don't have an option. Well, it'd be great. Yeah, if we can pull it up against UTEP and then go into the last two games, it could be an exciting finish to the season, no doubt.
Absolutely.
How interesting would that last game of the season be, though, just based on what UTSA did to us last year at our house going in there? I mean, there are so many stories going into that last game. I mean, getting a little ahead of ourselves, but I mean,
oh, I know.
I've already looked and kind of circled it, like, wow, there could be some major storylines because the players have got to be pissed about that game still, obviously, the ones that are here. And
the fans still are.
And the fans are, and they're kind of a team that a lot of people really strongly dislike and you know they're not very good, so it's kind of like a trap game even though there's no game after that in a way. So I don't know, that's got me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, it does, but you know, we can always hope that we can get to those 6 wins, and as a North Texas fan, I think it's our right to have delusions of grandeur, because if that we probably all wouldn't be here and doing it for this long. I haven't even looked in the chat room to see what's going on. What are they talking about here?
Oh, they're just making some more intelligent comments than we are usually.
I will say this. Okay, so I saw the ugly face of the alcohol sales this weekend.
What's that?
You know, I've thought it was great. The alcohol athletic department makes some extra money, blah, blah, blah. And it was kind of an interesting, you know, they're making a lot of money. The beer lines are long, people complaining. Well, this weekend, it finally tipped the scales, I guess, because the homecoming, a lot of people were out there tailgating.
Good weather.
Yeah, there was a combination. Yeah. But the fans that sit in front of my family every game, always on the edge of just little overboard, right? This week, they were completely overboard. Up the whole time and were basically making those comments that you make fun of people when you watch them in the movies or something, that they're overdrunk, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how these guys were. And then they would go down, and you're thinking, I'm hoping they're leaving. And then they'd come back with more beer. And it was like, ooh, this is just getting bad.
Yeah.
So I guess you're going to have a good things and bad things about it. But I saw the ugly face of the beer sales this weekend.
Well, I mean,
usually they sober up by the third quarter.
Well, you know, the thing about it is you're going to have a learning curve whenever you start serving beer in the stadium. And I think if they get across the line, you ought to feel comfortable with going and telling the security folks that to go quiet them down. I mean, did you think about doing
that? No, they weren't like belligerent. They were just making asses of themselves, you know, and the kids were like looking at them like, what is he talking about? You know, and they were, you know, every once in a while they'd turn around and go, oh, there's people behind us, and they'd sit down. And then they'd get back up and start talking. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're usually nice folks. And what the funny thing is these are fans that were there during the skinny years. You know where we have, like, five people that go to the road games, and we all see the same people? I remember this one particular guy at all these road games back in the mid-aughts, you know, when nobody was really going. So I've seen these people around a long time. But, I mean, you know what? That's what you're going to have. You have a tailgating. People are out there tailgating all day, and they come in. The weather's, you know, it's just going to keep going.
I tell you something, though. I'm in a little different section than you are, but I was impressed with just the spirit and the – and I'd be interested to hear what Ashton felt like because you're down on the field. But it just seems like it's loud, and the fans get behind the team, and it has a positive effect. I just think – yeah, we don't have the most fans of any program in the country, but the fans that we do have seem to really get up and get into the games. That's my opinion.
It is loud, and I think that's one of the more frustrating parts of it, is that we could be even louder if we had a sellout, or even 28, you know, on average, 27. I mean, let's just say 25,000, you know, I mean, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's just – and I think – and that's the thing is sometimes I turn around – because I'm kind of shocked at how loud it is, and I'll just see, whoa, is everybody up? You know, and they won't all be. It just it does hold in sound. I mean, and Dunham's talked about this a lot. You know,
it's loud stadium.
It can get really, really loud.
Very loud stadium.
And even when we're, you know, editing the show and we're using his radio calls, and I can hear the fans. There's some parts, times where I'm like, man, check out how loud that sounds. And that's not my microphones. That's just the audio from the radio call. Like, that we're not even filtering in the microphone. So that's nice to know that it could be even better.
Yeah, and I hear fans, people I talk to, acquaintances that watch a game or something, that's really loud there. You know, they can it comes across on some of the TV broadcasts as well. 21,000 people there for this past game, which to me, it seemed like more. This year it seems they're doing the tally differently.
There may have been 1,000 out in the...
Oh, there was more than 1,000.
There was more than 1,000. There might have been 20,000 out there.
There was probably... I'm telling you, dude, if everybody that would have been in the parking lot and out there in those tents would have come to the game...
You know how
been
you
full.
Can see over the student when you're sitting in the alumni.
You're
side,
watching
you
the people going back across the bridge.
Yeah, it's
and just the parties. It's
the
like
tailgate's over.
That are just sitting out there, they have no idea that the game's going.
That's good and bad. I mean, it's great that there's the support and they're going to eventually, I think, make their way in.
Yeah.
Question mark. I mean, I don't know. So it's, but you know, I when I go up there or anything like that to look at from the press box or take a break or something like that and go out there and just see what the crowd looks like, and you can see during the day games it's the worst because you can see everybody, and then you're like, damn, just come inside, you know, especially if you're a student,
well,
just come
you're
in
gonna
for
have that. I mean, because a lot of people just go, obviously they're having a big homecoming thing and they want to see friends from the, you know, the basket weaving class of 86 is
ballroom
having,
dancing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That there's all the players go, they have all those things and people want to come back and see that, donate money, and then that, you know, it gets to be the evening, they're ready to go home. You know what, I totally understand that. It makes for a great homecoming that people are just there and supporting the university and coming back to see friends. So you're going to have that, and I understand it. But it would be great if we could get them in and at least come in and get a ticket and say, I was here. Let's get the count out. But it is a loud stadium. We have three wins, and we had that many people and that many people into it. And I tell you one thing that was really impressive. I saw a lot of people walking around with North Texas gear that they've bought this year because mm-hmm. they've added some gear this year that they didn't have previous years. That was pretty edgy, and I noticed a lot of it. So there's a lot of – they're spending their money.
But you raise a point that makes me think about another point. They need to expand that. I'm telling you, man, that is a health hazard, that spirit shop.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, literally, there's so many people in there. That it looks like it's going to – the glass siding is just going to explode outwards.
You know what they need to do? They need to do the Fouts effect deal where they have the table out there, the foldable tables for some high traffic items.
Right.
They need to have just some shirts and some hats.
Foam fingers.
pom-poms, yeah. Things like that. But for the North koozies, and we have beer now, they could really sell the hell out of the koozies. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Exactly.
I mean, do they even have?
And there's room out there in that terrace way.
There's a lot of room out there.
But the thing that I worry about is I saw people when I was standing in line that would walk up there interested, ready to buy something. And then they'd see the crowd in there and just
and
turn around.
Turn
and go
around.
The other
exactly.
Way.
So that's the problem because people, I mean, they've got a great selection in there, but you just can't funnel that many people in there that want to stand in line. If you had some high traffic items, when the game was cold the other day, get you a table out there with some sweatshirts, get you a table out there with some jackets, some earmuffs, whatever, put it out there and then give somebody an iPhone that can scan it or whatever,
card.
You
that's
know, the little deal
idea.
On there and go to town.
They had the little trailer out there at tailgating, right? Is that part of the North Texas shop, or is that the, I mean, there's a trailer out there, little green, that sells gear at tailgating. See, exactly. There's a thing. It's right by the march, like right by the walk.
Oh, it?
Yeah, there's a little green.
Is it up at the top?
There's a little green
down at the bottom
where people, like, you can buy some gear, like not nothing great, but a few little things, like you can buy some t-shirts. I mean, that it's a little green stand. I think I'm not making this up. I don't know. Maybe I had too much to drink that day.
Let's go back to the alcohol discussion at the game.
Exactly. No, but
there's a way to get around.
There's a way. Yeah. There's a way to sell more.
But I also would like to see them consider expanding or opening up another or doing something.
Well, the dual use of it is having the ticket staff could sell things and do all that. Oh, great. Somebody just
UNT 90's saying Ashton is correct. So
okay.
Thank you.
Suck
thank
up.
You.
Suck
every
up.
Game. Thank you very much. That's right.
Suck up. No, they were. Yeah, they
round
were,
nose.
They were giving away free koozies. Yeah, I saw them. Those were those slap band koozies they were giving away. But you know, they could do that. When I see that many people walking around with those bags, I'm like, those poor people had to stand in line for 30, 45 minutes during the third quarter to get those bags. So if they can make it easier for people to buy stuff, they would. Just the fact that everybody's buying stuff is exciting.
My mom bought a sweatshirt, and I think towards the end of the last season, maybe at the UTSA game, like before that, because she came with, you know, not as much on, like, shirt wise and
well, she was cold game.
She told me afterwards, she made a point. It was right when you said how the health hazard thing, she made a point to tell me how bad it was in that shop and how crowded it was. I was like, that's great, that's awesome. But then I thought, well, it's not that big, and so it's not like it's a Walmart that's packed,
right?
But
I like the dual use. You don't have to staff it all the time. You can get your tickets. It's like they can use it for everything. It's a good idea. But for games and situations like that, they've got to do something better to make it easier for people to give the money to the university.
Yeah.
They got to.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised that. I mean, how, you know, with my limited marketing knowledge, I could tell you, get a couple of folding tables, get out there with somebody with a handheld and knock some items out.
Put the high move, the good price.
Yeah, that's
stuff
right.
Out
the high traffic items, get them out there and get them turned over quick. And that way you can at least make more sales and clear volume. I mean, man, make the stuff that's not selling, put it out there. And some people can pick. You can go stand in line for the good stuff, or you can buy the decent stuff here at a lower price outside quicker. I mean, you know, there's a trade-off, and you got to do that. So,
okay, so I've got a new feature that didn't even tell y'all about that I'm gonna do tonight.
Wow!
All right, here we go.
Throwing you guys.
All right, guys, it was fun. So
I'll
be back whenever you
actually
guys need me again.
It's an idea. We can maybe not do it, but I think because a lot of people that follow this show are on the board, I thought it'd be neat to talk about the one sort of hot topic every week that's on the message board, and the big hot topic this week.
Let me guess. The uniforms.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
It was announced yesterday that North Texas has a game in 2018 against Incarnate Word. And Incarnate Word is like a small FCS college.
In San Antonio.
In San Antonio, I believe.
Do they have a football team?
Ricky Williams coaches the running backs, I believe. I believe last season, at least. I don't know about this season. I don't follow the UI dub or whatever it is. But I believe that Ricky Williams is one of the assistant coaches.
Okay. I remember the Houston Oilers used to practice
at the Incarnate Word. That's right.
That was like 20 years ago. So they have a team?
We played them in basketball.
They have a team that...
Is this a home and away?
The scary thing is I looked them up because I didn't know they had a team either, and they actually beat Nicholls State this year.
Challenge accepted, right?
So we're really moving up. But the reason I bring it up is it's had a lot of debate on the board in terms of the scheduling of these smaller unknown type schools and whether that's the direction that we want to go. I think a lot of fans thought that when we built the Apogee, all of a sudden UT and A&M and all these huge schools were going to come in here and want to play in Apogee, and that's just not the case.
Well, we don't want to pay them, I think is more the case, right?
Well, we don't want to pay them, but
well, it's a home and away. So this is kind of where we're just paying them to come in here. We're not going there, right?
Okay. No, we're not.
Then we can just like do a week, them, then UTSA, and it's just across town, and we can stay there.
Yeah, I don't think
always.
We need
Stop
to go
by
there.
Nicholls State. Yeah.
But I just wanted to voice my opinion about it, that for me, if we're going to buy a game, I don't have any problem buying a game against a team you can win. Now, I hated the fact that we got our hopes up after beating Nicholls State 77-3 or 6 or whatever it was. But at the end of the day, we wouldn't be 3 wins right now and 3 away from 6 if we didn't have that game.
If we didn't have some crappy teams on the schedule.
Well, I mean, but the fact of the matter is, if you bring in a team that's maybe a high-level FCS team, they could come in here and upset you. So I'm just for the record saying I don't have any issue with it. I think that it's actually probably a pretty good strategy for where we are right now.
Okay, UNT 90 grad, put a link to their football program.
Where's Ricky Williams' picture? Maybe as a coach.
The Cardinals.
I don't have an issue with it. I have an issue with where we time the game, where we put it at. I don't want to play this team in November. I don't want to play them in the end of October. I want to play them early, but not the first game.
When do we play them?
I don't think that's...
I don't know if they've announced the time or anything. It's 2018, so it's several years away, but it just... They haven't really... I think Vito might have announced the date, but I don't know the time. I can't remember.
I'm going to, real quick, before we move on past Incarnate Word, I just pulled up their schedule this year. And Sam Houston State, Nicholls State, McNeese State, Northwestern State, Houston Baptist.
They're Southland, right? They're a Southland team. Okay.
College of the Pacific? No, that's what we played in 41. I'm trying to figure out is that still a university?
No, they shut their foot.
Abilene Christian, North Dakota State. They play North Dakota State.
Okay.
Stephen F. Austin. Yeah, they lost North Dakota State 58-0.
Oof.
The only game they won this year was against Houston Baptist 31-8. They beat Nicholls State 38-20. You're right. Yeah. That was in Thibodaux. I guess they're playing those schools. We just didn't realize it.
But I mean, I think it's been a good debate. There's like two threads that have gone 60 posts long. And I think it's interesting, though, because everybody wants to get a big name opponent, because for the exact reason that Ashton and I were talking earlier, we all want to see that wing full to the brim. We want to see that stadium completely full to the brim.
We want to see if it can hold the weight.
But will we if we play Incarnate Word? I think isn't that one of the debates?
That's
on there?
One of the debates.
One of those things, and they're not going to come see that game. And then somebody said, well, I don't care about the opponent. And I think that's an interesting point, but that's probably split down the middle. Some people – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, they want to name opponent in here, and then you see SMU come in and not bring anybody.
Nope.
And then Louisiana Tech comes in and brings twice as many people as SMU.
They did. They absolutely did.
And which was, my hat's off to Louisiana Tech for traveling that well when SMU couldn't even come.
SMU should be ashamed of that.
They really should.
For multiple reasons.
You know that they've got a lot of situations there, but we really thought that they would bring more. Considering how many fans we took down there the last time we went, I really thought they would.
And we will next year. Yeah. I promise you we'll bring twice as many fans as they brought.
Oh, yeah, if we can find a parking spot.
Yeah, take the shuttle across.
Take the yeah, that's what you have to do. You have to take the dart rail and then walk.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of thing. So you need a, you want to have a team that okay. So who do we play at home next year? I can't remember the schedule.
Next year's the year of five home games, correct?
Yeah, we don't have six home games.
We have Tennessee on the road. We play Iowa, and is that the Army year as well next year?
No,
it's SMU. It's SMU, Iowa, and Tennessee. And we play Tennessee late. I believe that's in November.
It's late. It's in November. You're right about that.
It's Tennessee's – it's the SEC's tune-up game where they all have that. Like, I think this week or last week, was it Mississippi State played, like, Presbyterian or something like that.
Yeah.
So UNT 90 brought up a good point. Someone has to fill our schedule with P5 schools when the P5 schools won't play us anymore due to strength of schedule concerns.
That's
an interesting point.
That's a good point, I
think.
That
is. I mean, will you make
some
it over
the conferences
hump?
Are saying you have to play everyone in the you know what I mean? They're setting rules in terms of strength because they know their chances of getting in the playoffs go down if you don't have a – like Marshall, for instance. Marshall is undefeated and has blown everybody out, but are they going to get one of the final four spots? Probably not.
If we win six games, we better hope they do because that would only help us get
a bowl
a
game.
Better a bowl game. You know what I mean? Cause if they're gonna go to a big boy bowl, then we need to.
So when you look at that and how people are gonna have to schedule games, you gotta look at. There's gonna be a hump to get over. Whether you're good enough to be on their schedule or you can't, and you gotta play Incarnate Word.
Yeah.
That's where are we gonna fit when that comes down and the scheduling takes place.
I just think where we are right now as a program, if we'd have come out this year and won 8 or 9 games after last season going to a bowl. Maybe I'd have a different impression, but right now, where we are as a program, I feel like wins are more important than necessarily getting a name opponent.
Right.
Because I think the wins help you get to bowl games, and bowl games are great. And you know what I mean? I think that playing a team and not taking the chance that you might catch a team that can come in here and who knows, by the time 2018 rolls around, watch Incarnate Word be the best team in FCS. But I think playing a team like that is not a bad thing if you're North Texas right now.
I mean, what would you rather have? I guess it comes down to, would you rather have the win against Nicholl State or a close loss to Ball State? Say we lose to Ball State last year. I mean, what do you want at that point? Do you want to bring a team in that's really good and worthy? Or do you want to bring in a Nicholl State, the team that you should beat? But,
strength of schedule is not our issue right now. Our issue is trying to get to 25,000 fans and then 30 after that. And wins help you do that. The truth of the matter is, how many people in that stadium really know the difference between Incarnate Word and Sam Houston State? And you know what I mean?
They might not even know where Ball State is.
Yeah.
We do.
So, let's bring up another point then, because RV brought this up to us early on when we were talking, and I think he was a little disappointed at the crowd, especially the SMU game. We laid an egg against Texas. Looked horrible. But did that prevent people from coming out the game against SMU? No. There is seriously an issue when we come off of a season like that we had last year, off a bowl game slaughter that we put on UNLV, and you get your first home game, and it looks like that. I mean, it was a decent crowd, but it should have been a lot higher.
Yeah, I'm going to take issue with you a little bit. That performance against Texas is going to take years for me to forget. That was just the most hapless performance I've ever seen a team coming off a bowl win. I mean, and you're right, it probably doesn't impact the first home game. What it does impact, though, is that, man, people aren't going to make a trip and make plans and drive hours to go be at a game when they get that kind of disappointment.
If we could have gotten anything out of the offense.
Anything.
And would have kept that game within 14 points.
We would have had
an unbelievable showing for the SMU game.
Absolutely.
Because people would have bought in.
What about the kickoff time, though? Didn't that affect some things? I mean, I heard a lot of people complaining about that. They couldn't go because of their kids' games that morning. And
that was a little crazy, too. There was several
kids,
factors.
Yeah, children sports schedules on the weekends now are a little bit ridiculous from what I've – I don't
well,
have
are.
A child that old yet, but
– Well, you can take mine because they're all – I got stuff all this weekend.
Yeah, and I hear a lot of my friends that have kids in like 9, 10, ages that are complaining about taking the weekends back, and really they're not free until 3, 4 o'clock that afternoon. So if you have a 2 o'clock kickoff time, that's like the earliest it could possibly be for them.
And
to
that's
show up
cutting
at
it.
11 o'clock,
but when you do
awful.
6 o'clock, that's great. You're exactly right. So there was a lot of factors there that played in.
Well,
but I can tell you,
we keep pouring out for TV is what it is.
Yeah, that's
the reason we got moved to 12 noon on that or whatever it was. is because it was going to be on national TV, and they all want to be on every game.
I'll take that. Let's make a showing, beat the hell out of SMU on national television, and then I still don't think, and I've been saying this to a lot of people all season, I don't think we're going to see last year's results until next season, in a sense of like. That's why we really had to do, you know, at least get 6 wins this year. And I think that's why it's so important, because you don't just go to a bowl game, have a great season like that, after years of not playing very well, and then all of a sudden go into some other echelon. It's going to take another year of decent play to get that, to get the momentum. You're just not going to see people just jumping out like, oh, they're 9-4. You know, people are like, oh, North Texas, okay. And then the interest gets there. And then this year is when they would have been coming out to paying attention more, maybe not coming out. And then next year they're coming out. I mean, that's always been my opinion.
No, I agree.
Well, and this year hasn't gone that well for us. Yeah,
it's consistency.
Yeah, and that's – okay, so there's the thing. But also, like the seats that I have, I've had the same seats since the stadium opened. And there's people around me that don't have those seats any longer. So they've lost a few people there, and I don't think they're moving to the club level. I think they've just, you know, things have happened and they've changed, and they've got to run. Now, obviously, we're seeing student crowds that we haven't ever seen before. Those people graduate. They're more likely to come back because of things like this. So even if, you know, they don't remember bowl game greatness years, they're going to remember a good experience, and they're better chance to come back and come to the game. So we're building that. But I will tell you this about watching the good thing about Apogee, and we talk about how loud it is, and it's a great atmosphere, and the cannon, oh my God, that cannon just sounds like it's 10 times the size it is. It's a perfect fit for it. But when you see games on TV and the students show up like they have for this year, all you see when you're watching the TV is the student side, and it's full. I mean, it looks full. I mean, there's some points at the end, but most of the time, if it's on the 50, I mean, it looks like a full set of students on their side. They're not showing the alum side.
Which it didn't look that way at Fouts.
There was a lot more.
There were more bald spots all throughout the
well, you needed binoculars to see the other side at Fouts. That was the thing. You couldn't see anybody over there. They could have been, they had to light a fire and get to know there's people over there. So, I mean, that's a good thing about the TV game. So, I wonder what you think the games are going to be televised again next year, or do you think, I mean it's too early to tell.
Conference USA will help that, I think, right? I mean, we'll get some just because we're in Conference USA. Will we get as many?
Maybe not.
I don't know. I mean, I don't doubt television coverage nowadays. I mean, there's 9 million games on every Saturday. And it's gotten so big. There might be a Conference USA network in the works or something like that that we don't even know about.
It's still one of the only advertising mediums that people cannot DVR. You have to watch a game. You know what I'm saying? You can, but people want to watch a game when it happens.
Yeah, you're gonna. Otherwise, you'll check scores or you'll check Facebook and somebody's telling you who won. So
that's
you want to watch it live, and so that's a big part.
So the networks keep buying more games. So I think there's a good chance we get a lot of games.
Yeah. So speaking of TV, Ashton, you're here longer with us. I definitely want to tell you that, and for those of you who haven't seen it, last week's show on Zach Whitfield, his mom, it was a great segment. And, you know, you continue to put these great little segments about feeling like we know the players. So if I saw him, I feel like I could talk to him about, you know, a lot of the stuff in him. And then the guys eating the peppers last week, my God, they looked like they were hurting.
That was pretty fun to watch, actually. I'm not going to lie. It was like watching pain. It was really – but Sam Rice, man, I don't know if anybody notices, but when Banigou puts the third pepper in his mouth
I couldn't
and
believe
does
the
back-to-back
–
oh, it was unreal.
Is it when and he kind of looked at him like,
and
what are you doing?
And he looked at him
doing?
And put his hand over his mouth like, oh, it was like this – it was this funny moment of – man, you're just a badass.
That's exactly what he did.
I'm going to lose. And I don't want to lose because I was talking so much S before it. But you know what?
There's no way.
I'm going to lose. I've lost. I've conceded. And that's great. And
the look on his face was like.
Top.
He looked like some guy in a 1980s video for California Girls with David Lee Roth or something. You know, that's he was wearing this pink, hot pink tank top. And he looks over and he's like.
And he like leans in, and that's the best thing. And it's like, oh, so anybody who didn't notice that, go back and watch that online or whatever, because Sam Rice's face is hilarious. Like, I mean, I literally cracked up when it happened, and I went back and watched it like 3 or 4 times in the edit room because I just had to keep seeing it.
Drinking. Okay, so these guys Sunny drink. So for those of you who haven't watched it, you watch it, but they're eating these peppers, and they're the ghost peppers, so they're hotter than habaneros. The Scoville
hottest
scale.
Pepper
they're the third,
out there.
Well, they're the third hottest pepper
third,
in the world.
They've got
we looked
some
it
other
up.
Ones,
yeah.
Okay. So the Scoville units is just out, crazy. And so when they're eating these things, and And what do they drink afterwards? Now, I know enough about hot stuff that when you drink, the thing that you're supposed to drink is milk.
But that was the rule. Because we didn't want any milk.
Oh, you didn't have
any milk. Yeah, Cooper had said.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was the whole thing. It was like, it was more punishment, essentially, and to see who's the manly man. Apparently, Cooper also said that, because his dad is the one who grows them. And, you know, Cooper's tried these before, and he had some experience. And he's like, I ain't ever trying that again. Root beer. There was a bottle of Reno. Sam was chugging
and
root beer.
And orange juice. Orange juice. That's like Sunny the worst D. thing for it. Because, you know, the acidic,
that was
it makes it worse.
That was an interesting call. Banigou just looking at the bread. Like, he wanted to eat that bread so bad.
And he starts stuffing it. He's crying. He's like, rubbing his eyes like, whoo.
Banigou. I was glad to kind of introduce Banigou. Little spoiler alert. He's going to be in an episode coming up. He's got an interesting background. An interesting thing happened to him over the summer that was really cool to hear about and then see. And Sam Rice, I'm glad that you guys got to see him, because if you had to ask me right now, a player that I'm excited about for next year, I really like that kid. He shows a lot. He's a beast, and he's athletic though. See, he's athletic, and he's, you know, if we do an up tempo offense, which I think we want to do, he's the kind of guy that's going to be able to, and he can play, I think, two different positions. I think he can play guard or center. So he's, you know, he's got the versatility that we obviously like in our
plus. He committed to us, and then he decommitted and went to SMU, and then he came back home. You know, that's the other neat story about him. When he plays in that SMU game next year, it's going to be a lot of fun
at SMU. And there's going to be some, I'm already wanting to see the signs. Maybe game day will be out there, and they can have some signs about Sam Rice. But no, he's a guy that I like a lot. He's just a really cool kid. They just asked. They said, hey, Sam, will you do this chili pepper thing next week? Would you? Yeah, I'll eat it. That was it. And that was how we got him to do it. And it was kind of guy. No, he didn't flinch at all.
No, so they did pretty good on it. A lot better than I would have been able to pull off. So what are we looking at the next couple of weeks? Obviously, this week's later tomorrow. So
yeah, this week's another behind the scene or another feature on somebody that we don't really know anything about. It's one of the coaches. Cool backstory. It's kind of twofold, and you'll see it tomorrow. Not going to just leave it at that. Did a whole homecoming piece talking about, you know, got some of the bonfire and the present the night before, saying some words to the fans. And if you didn't go out there, you got a chance to see it. We didn't cover the whole thing, but there's some moments there that is nice to see. And just really, we showed a lot of the tailgating because it was such a good crowd. So I decided to do a segment on tailgating and not tailgating, but homecoming and community support, rallying around the team. And I think that's nice and important right now, especially to a kid who is living in Ruston, Louisiana, and he catches a show on TV and he's like, oh, that's what Denton's like, you know, or something like that. And then maybe he comes and plays at North Texas.
Well, yeah, just the homecoming segment. If any kind of the tailgate or the scene, I mean, you could send that out to alums that hadn't been here before. Hey, look at this. You know, check this out. This is, you know, this is what I told you to come to the homecoming game. Exactly. This is what you missed out on. You know, here's the Sigma Nu tent and everybody passed out underneath it just like college, you know.
Couches, yeah.
Yeah.
Party.
Couches. They brought out
and
couches.
And, I mean, it's just a nice, I mean, you know, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to generate interest to a school that, and homecoming is, you know, it's kind of generic in a sense. Every school does it. It's not like it's only our thing, but just showing what we do and just, you know, what the support is, and then hearing from some of the local communities and or businesses and kind of Denton staples that you'll see some spokesmen and stuff like that. So that's nice. And then we did another piece on winning. Winning's fun. So we did something on the win and tried it a little different style, which I did for the Rice game. It's more of an essay style with the last segment, just kind of hearing reactions about the game that just recently happened instead of waiting another week to see that at the beginning of the episode. Why not do it at the end of this episode?
So you're angling for some more awards with this deal. That's what it looks like, man.
You know, man, it was that was still an anomaly. I'll just put no. I mean, again, like I've been preaching off, the access is fantastic. I know these guys really well.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And the stuff you put together with Zach Whitfield, that's I actually sent the link to my wife because, you know, obviously she comes to the games and everything. Didn't go to North Texas, but she comes to the games and I sent her that. She watched it. She's like, wow. I mean, she really got, I mean, it was a story. It was a great story, compelling, and she wanted to see what happened, and so she watched the whole thing.
Even if take the North Texas affiliation away, it would still be interesting.
Oh yeah, exactly.
That's the whole point. You mean, in a nutshell, that's what I want this show to be. Now, is it going to be like that to everybody at football segments? No. You know, when you're seeing game highlights, stuff like that, you got to have a fine line of appealing to everybody. And you know, when Eric Capper, Hank Dickinson, and RV and I had a conversation before last season about going into the show, what we were going to do. That was kind of the whole point, is to get not the fantasy football dad in watching the show, but maybe his mother, who's like somebody's great grandmother or something like that, have her watch the show because maybe her kid's thinking about going there or plays football or is a student there. Those are the kind of people we want to get, and that's who we're kind of reaching out to.
And there's
as well as the
you've got the, and you've kind of have the split there. I mean, I kind of know what there's going to be two sections, and I know what's going to be on one, I know what's going to be other, and I know there's going to be car commercials in the middle. And beer commercials.
And
nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong. Yeah.
No,
I mean, cars,
not.
Beer, and football.
That's
America,
right.
It's, question mark. Yeah.
There you go, America.
But yeah, it's been fun again, and the access is great, and I hope it sticks around. You know, nothing's finalized for next season yet, but it's, you know, it's the middle of the season, so we're not talking about it just yet.
Can you give us a tease? I know we've talked about the DVD.
Talk us, keep a
got a little bit more
on
information on that. You know, that is going to happen. First of all, I get a lot of questions. Is it really going to happen? It's going to happen. I'm going to do season one and season two. You're going as one box set. So 27 episodes total. There's going to be 4 to 5 extras, kind of maybe what we would see in the off season of Beyond the Green. If there was something about maybe right as the season ends, if we don't go to bowl game, like how are we gonna right the ship? What are we gonna do? Maybe hearing some of the guys are gonna be coming back next year, and maybe some of the guys that left, the Acunes, the Ybarbos, the Lemons, about the experience as a whole. You know, so basically what you would get if we had another episode of Beyond the Green. And then I got a lot of behind the scenes stuff. I got a lot of sideline footage that I haven't been able to use just due to time constraints. So I'm gonna try to do something like that. And then one of the coaches wants to do an Easter egg, and he wants to. So we're talking about doing something kind of hidden that might
very
be kind
nice.
Of fun. And I'm not going to say who this coach is, but he's kind of been all over it with me. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now, and that'll be fun. And you know, I might try to do something with an exclusive like interview with Mac, maybe kind of like a one-on-one where we really get a little bit more intimate than the show, where he's talking to the camera, maybe just talking to me or somebody else, and kind of recapping the season, maybe, you know. And there's going to be plenty of extras. And most likely it'll be sold online, and there will be shipping available. And then the school and I have talked about selling it in the shop. And then I'll probably go to some local places like Vortman's and anybody else that you know would think about carrying something like this. There's a new academy in the city. Maybe they could put, you know, they'd be interested in buying some and selling them over there or something like that. So, I mean, there's some options for sure. But, yeah, it will be 2 discs, Blu-ray. 14 episodes last season, 13 this season. Unless we go to bowl game, then there's more episodes. So right now there's a minimum of 27 episodes you can get on.
And you're probably looking at first January, February, March next year, something like that?
I would have loved to have done it before Christmas, but realistically, to get some stuff postseason, I need the time to do so.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if this was going to be a stocking stuffer regardless, but it'd be cool if it was. But, you know, it's definitely something I want to put some time into. But it is going to happen. I think there.
Hey, well, maybe you can come out with some gift certificate that, you know, you've bought it. It's, you know, as soon as it comes out, it'll be shipping your way, and they can put it in your stock.
Yeah, there was a pre-order that I was talking to with some people, and there's a couple ideas, and I've talked to people that have done sales online and stuff like that. So there's definitely some options. So, you know, the school is kind of backing me up to go ahead and do it. They want me to do it, and they're going to help me out with whatever they can to kind of get the name out there and everything like that. And it's something that I think. You know, because the shows will go offline at the end of the season. We're not going to leave them online in the off season, and then kind of retooling for next season. So, I mean, you won't be able to just go online to watch them all really after a certain point. So that's kind of why the DVD, I would like people to, you know, and then that's where the extras come into play. You know,
right.
There's a reason to buy it. And you know, and hopefully, and there'll probably be 2 editions. One, kind of like a special edition that I'm still working out what would come with that, but it might be some little trinkets or something like that would come along with that DVD, and then the regular just with the 2 box sets.
Maybe you can get like one of RV's sweaters and cut it into 1,000 little pieces, and this is one of 1,000 of RV's sweater swatches.
Serial number of the sweater. That'd be great.
You think that would sell more?
No. But it was going to be a thought.
Come with sunglasses?
Yeah, it could come with sunglasses. Yeah, it could come with sunglasses. Something kitschy. You could do that.
I'll talk to Dan. I'll talk to Mac and see if
little
he can
mini uniform
help me out with some stuff.
I know you could make it controversial. A little mini black uniform.
Ooh.
Well, these
do
were kind of black.
Just like the black.
Yeah.
It always.
I try not to get in uniform.
It goes back. That's why I make fun of the uniform conversations because they drive me crazy because it's always uniform talk. And then the whole last Dickie's last game, the black uniforms, and then couldn't believe that they wore black uniforms to the bowl. You know, it was just kind of like whoa. You know. But I could care less as long as there's some green on there. Come on, you know
the players love them too. Yeah. Players, you know, this is a player inputted thing. So if the players want to go out there and play in pink, then I'm cool with it. They're going to win.
Well, and I can tell you something. Having the way the season's gone this year, you know, watching those bowl episodes and leading up to the bowl episodes is always a nice thing to watch again. You know, it's not like we get to bowl, we win bowl, have bowl winning seasons that often at North Texas. So your timing was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It was a good mojo you brought along there with you. That was,
yeah, you know, it was, and really after the SMU game, I was like, man,
this is it.
We're heading that direction.
We're in
again.
The right and place.
It, you know, it's I get a lot of questions from people saying, why? Why is this happening this season? And it's going to sound like coach speak, and I'm probably going to get hassled for it, and that's fine. But we're really, really, really young. Like,
yeah.
Crazy young. And I feel really bad for guys like Akune, which if anybody's looked at his stats lately, they're ridiculous.
Amazing.
He's like 80-something tackles, like first in conference USA, and I think it's not even close. I mean, I feel bad for guys like him and Lemon and Y Barbo if they don't go out. If I left any seniors off, I'm sorry. But if they don't go to a bowl and don't at least hit six, I'm going to feel sorry. I'm going to feel really bad for them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They've definitely contributed a lot to the program, and you want them to go out on a high. There's no doubt. So
it's all about DT, man. It's DT. We lost DT, and it all went downhill.
I can't believe you just said that.
Darius Terrell? Darius Terrell's still on the team, though. He caught two balls on Saturday.
It's an ongoing debate on the board.
I can hear people
DT.
Cringing listening to that because I thought Darius, he did great
last
year.
I loved him.
I did, too. He did great last year, but there's still those people out there like, oh, wow, he was lucky. Are you kidding me? I mean, he strung it together. Okay, we're not going to get into Derek Thompson.
Yeah, that's another episode.
Again, a year later, we're still Derek Thompson talk. Wow. Let's bring
I talked to Derek during tailgating a little bit and asked him if he was a little bit less stressed these days.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, it's great to come watch these games. I'm upset that, you know, I almost am stressed because we're losing. We've been losing lately. So that was kind of interesting to hear.
No, that's,
at least he still cares.
Well, yeah, exactly. He does.
He does care.
All right, well, with that, we'll go ahead and end this show. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. And thank Ashton for coming along. And make sure you tune in tomorrow, 4 p.m. I've got a DVR, so I don't even know what time it comes
out. It just automatically records.
Yeah.
Every Thursday, 4 p.m., Fox Sports Southwest.
There you go.
If there's ever a change in time due to any kind of Mavs game, Stars game, whatever, then I'll definitely post it on the Twitter, which is at BTG_UNT. I'll post that. Harry usually does a pretty good job of helping me out with that and post something on the GoMeanGreen.com. And if you're in Houston, it's on CSN Houston Friday. It's on Friday at – oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble now. I think they moved the times around a lot. I think this week is 3:30. I'll have to go back.
So the afternoon on Fridays.
Afternoon on Friday, gotcha. CSN. They don't have a set time slot, but then obviously if you're in Houston, you can still watch it on Fox Sports Southwest.
Make sure and catch the UTSA show right after – no, you can skip that if you want.
Well, no, watch the first 3 minutes of it. No, actually, watch the first segment.
Wow. It just it's
Harry's salty today.
I say that because it gives you such an appreciation for how good our show is compared to theirs. I just think ours is miles ahead.
It is.
It
makes you look good.
Oh, it's
real
a great. It's a great compliment. I had some guys from Conference USA at the media awards back in May talk to me about the UTSA show in particular, and I felt really bad because it was like that's mean. You know, the guys from the conference were talking noise about the show, but. It really wasn't very good. It definitely got better this year. I will give it to them. They upped the graphics package, and they did some things. I still like Beyond the Green better.
Well, I mean, it's great.
Not even
if you can ever get that white control down, I think we'll be even.
You know, the color correcting is definitely it's a never ending battle with the color correcting. You know, we'll get it right one of these days.
I hope
that tomorrow's episode. You know what? I'm done.
All right, well, Ashton, appreciate you being here.
Absolutely.
And with that, tune into the game 9:00. So tuck yourself in, warm bed there, and watch the game because it's going to be cold and wet, rainy here. I think so. And so you can just
check out the chat room. We'll probably have a few people in there for sure.
Yeah. And for those of you making it out there, be safe and enjoy. And go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.